said, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong.
You are listening to Attention Please, which is a new program here on KPTZ, where we're bringing the attention of the community to interesting, valuable resources in the community and interesting programs that are coming up. And today I am going to be talking with Heather McRae-Wolf, who is the lead instructor and program manager for the Benji Project, which, I would describe it to you, but I think that Heather can probably do a better job of that. So Heather, what is the Benji Project and why is it called the Benji Project?
Well, the Benji Project was founded in 2016 in response to the suicide of a very cherished local member of our community, a teen named Benji. And his mother, Cynthia Osterman, really was searching for a way to serve the youth in this community and founded the Benji Project with the mission of building the resilience and stress management tools of the youth here in Port Townsend and in all of Jefferson County. And so we offer courses through schools and out of school in a particular curriculum based on mindfulness and self-compassion. And we're now really trying to expand on what we offer in response to the current pandemic situation. We are now offering mindfulness circles for young people, middle schoolers and high schools. And we're starting with some circles here in Port Townsend, and we're expanding out to the rest of the county very soon, we hope.
We live in very fearful times. And so I imagine part of resilience is trying to help children grapple with fear, not just about the pandemic, but also about climate change. I mean, I know that a lot of children are very, very worried about. My own daughter has been very anxious about climate change, and so yeah, let's talk a little bit about, you know, like resilience and what do you do in these classes? How do you help kids deal with these fears?
Yeah, I mean, resilience has become maybe a little bit of a buzzword, but I think when we look beneath it or investigate, what does that really mean? It's the ability to take in the serious things happening in your world, in your personal world, in the larger world, and be able to thrive anyway, right? To be able to bounce back, to be able to recover from setbacks, to sort of ride the ups and downs of life with a little bit more equanimity. And I think the tools that we work with are mindfulness, which again, has become a perhaps overused word, but it really is about being able to be present. And the idea that we talk about quite a bit in our classes is that the human mind has an amazing capacity for looking backwards and looking forwards in time, right? We worry about things that have happened and we worry about things that will happen or might happen. And so it takes effort to focus on what is actually happening in the present moment. And when we do that, research has found that it actually can lower our stress level. Like we, in fact, are able to become more grounded, for lack of a better word, when we are able to be in the present. And many of the mindfulness and self-compassion techniques and practices come out of Buddhism and out of other ancient traditions that really draw on these practices of being in the present moment. So the mindfulness piece is one part, and then the self-compassion part is this other piece, which has to do with turning to ourselves with the kind of love and compassion that we would like to receive from others. And this is not easy. You know, it is not easy to turn some of those inner criticisms that we all have, you know, and that inner critic in our heads and shift it a little bit so that it is less harsh, so that we speak to ourselves with a little more kindness. But by doing that, we allow ourselves to have some space in our lives for mistakes, right? To give ourselves the grace of just going through life as a human being and understanding that we all make mistakes and we all have our ups and downs, and how to then be kind to ourselves in those moments. So those are a couple of the tools, but I wanted to come back also to your question about connecting climate change and concern about climate change with what's happening right now and concern about the pandemic, because I think we're facing a moment where the anxiety level of, you know, youth as well as adults is really increasing. And, you know, more studies are coming out showing that and showing sort of disproportionate mental health challenges that people are facing right now. And I think thinking about climate change within the context of the pandemic is helpful, because it is also about how is our world changing around us in ways that feel out of our control, right? That feel huge. And I think the tools of mindful self-compassion can help in that by bringing us to our present existence and also allowing ourselves to notice all of these feelings that are coming up and then kind of walk ourselves through them, as it were. I know some of the work that I've done with young people around climate change specifically and fears about climate change, I've drawn on the work of Joanna Macy and this idea that you really have to experience and acknowledge the grief before you can move to that next place. And I think that that's true around the pandemic as well, that we really need to be able to hear and acknowledge where young people, just like the rest of us, are coming from in order to then move toward that resiliency place.
And are you indeed finding that grief present among the children you work with?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, I think it's an interesting moment, as so many people have been observing the isolation that families are experiencing is pretty unique right now. And so the way for educators like myself, for mental health practitioners to reach people is different, because we're doing a lot remotely, we're trying to have online sessions, and sometimes it can be hard to hear what's coming up, which is one reason we're starting these mindfulness circles, with the hope that we can actually sit in person, you know, at a distance, masked outdoors, but really be in one another's presence in a way that might allow for deeper sharing about those experiences and feelings. But yes, I think that the remote classes that we have done in the fall, we were working with all of the ninth graders in the Port Townsend High School and with the health class through the OCEAN program, which is a mixed age group. And hearing some of the, you know, just the concerns that students raise, and knowing, having a daughter myself who is 11, and hearing her concerns and the concerns of her peers, you know, there is this sense of, you know, what comes next? You know, what comes after the pandemic? And once you're really tuned into the realities of climate change, there also becomes this question of the world is continually changing. Like, it's not just going to, you know, quote unquote, get better or go back to normal. Like, we are living in a world that is on edge in very significant ways. They have some unique challenges that they're facing and their generation faces. And I think for those of us who are older, it's important to just hold that and acknowledge it.
Let's go back a little bit to talking about mindfulness and creating what you call that inner compassionate voice. And I was sort of thinking about what you're trying to do is replace your inner critic with an inner lover. And, you know, like,
yes.
I mean, you know, like, how do you inculcate that? You know, I mean, you know, how do you teach that? I mean, do you have right. the kids do meditation? I mean, is it like a class in Zen?
Or well, a little bit. I mean, we do some meditations that are actually guided visualizations, where there's one that I love. I feel like it's something that you can do over and over again. And it's called Compassionate Friend. And it is, in fact, about visualizing a compassionate being who is sitting with you and talking with you, and then sort of recognizing that that compassionate being is in fact a voice that is inside you. And maybe, you know, we encourage when we're doing this guided visualization, sometimes it's you're imagining someone you know, someone you love and care about who cares about you, but it could be an imaginary being. It could be a non-human being. I think for many of us, and especially for children, pets and animals are a great way of accessing that sort of unconditional love and caring, because you can really experience that with a pet. And so sometimes when we're doing this activity, if people share what they visualize, it often is an animal, a beloved animal. And so this idea that that devotion, that care that we might experience from a creature that loves us, that we love, is an experience and a way of being that we can access for ourselves. So that's one example of how we sort of work on that a little bit. We also do some work around managing difficult emotions. We do some activities around going underneath things like anger to determine like what's at the root of that. And maybe at the root of that is something that you can give yourself some compassion for, right? So some of these harsher externalized emotions, there might be a soft core there that you can kind of tease out and then find a way of holding that for yourself.
Have you found the key to like living in the present?
No, but I will offer that one key that I find for myself is just any sort of physical connection to the natural world. And I think that that is something that, particularly in this time when we're spending so much time in front of screens in a two-dimensional reality, trying to get into the living, breathing, natural world is incredibly important. And if I would say that there's any key to it for me, I think it's that. It's finding when I'm in some sort of tizzy, you know, of the mind or the heart or the emotions, that somehow connecting to the actual physical world around me is helpful.
I completely agree. I mean, I do exactly that. And I've found it's easy to be tempted to just stay inside and stay on your screen when the weather outside is cold. So, but I have found that if I just force myself to go out there and I don't know, prune the wild grapevines that, you know, like are like completely tangling up my whole back area here. It's therapeutic. It really is therapeutic. Well, so what is your perception of the impact that this pandemic has had on the youth of Port Townsend? You know, like the loss of being able to go to school, see your friends, you know, the isolation. Yeah. I mean, how are we faring?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think at this point, a lot of the answers to that are sort of anecdotal. The big healthy youth survey that has been done in the past, the last one was in 2018, and it was due to be administered again in 2020, but it's been pushed back. So it'll be administered in 2021 because of the pandemic. And the answers on that survey are always really illuminating around sort of what is the state of folks in our county. And they're there's the youth section that's really very illuminating. Something that we saw in the one from 2018 is that youth in our county are in fact almost twice as likely to have plans and thoughts of suicide as youth in the rest of Washington State.
Wow.
So Jefferson County really faced a serious challenge around youth mental health well before the pandemic. And we don't know how those numbers specifically in Jefferson County have changed recently. But I think that it's safe to say that there's a lot of concern about that, and that there's, there is really active community care happening around it. There are multiple grassroots organizations and groups who are coming together to talk about ways of providing more resources, giving more support to youth. So I think it is not a problem that's being ignored by many members of our community. There is a lot of attention being paid to it, but it's very concerning. And I look at, for example, recently the CDC released a report about nationwide emergency department reports of youth coming into the emergency room with mental health related conditions. And they reported that compared to 2019, if you look at the window of time from April to October of 2020, compared to the previous year, the increase was, I think for children aged 5 to 11, the increase was 24%. And for ages 12 to 17, the increase was 31%. So we don't know if those were necessarily all suicide attempts, but that would fall under that category.
Wow.
And so those are huge increases. Like, that's very significant. And we don't know exactly, you know, what that means in terms of the state or the county, but I think looking at those just makes it imperative that we all are really focused on supporting this next generation as they are, you know, coming to their next phase of maturity in a very challenging time.
What is the thought about what underlies Jefferson County's exceptional status?
Some of the rural factors of greater isolation, I think, can be very real. Some of the socioeconomic challenges faced by many of our families are very real. I mean, we all know we're in a county that has a huge housing crisis. There are sort of employment challenges. So you can look at a number of different factors and sort of hypothesize. I think I would hope, and sort of my hope and vision is that the way that the community is really trying to mobilize to support young people will shift that, right? That we will be able to really hold our youth in a way that changes that and changes those numbers from a few years ago and helps us move forward with more kind of hope for the future.
I know that there's all kinds of resources out there actually available in this county. We're actually very fortunate. Where would you recommend people go to find help when needed?
Well, so first, just to say that for the Benji Project and our future offerings, we love to hear from people about wanting to be part of future offerings. And so our email address is teachers@thebenjiproject.org. Our website, thebenjiproject.org, also just will have updates on what we're currently offering. But I will say, if you're in a school setting, the school-based counselors are an incredible resource. And so I would encourage anyone who is struggling or who needs support to make use of those school-based counselors. And they are very active, even at this time, even though students are not all in person, those resources are absolutely available. And I did want to mention Tanya Barnett is the new family resource navigator under the YMCA for Jefferson County. And you can find more information about her through the Y, but she's also really responding to some of this grassroots need for greater connectivity for families to all of the resources that do exist. And so she's a good source to contact. I also just want to shout out, I mean, there are multiple organizations. Jumping Mouse, for example, for children who are under 12, is an amazing resource in this community and provides no-cost therapy to families, you know, across the county.
Well, I have been talking with Heather McRae-Wolf, who is the lead instructor and program manager for the Benji Project. And we have now run out of time, so I'd like to thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you, Steve.
And I am Steve Evans, and this is Attention, Please.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come on over, baby.